On a cold and cloudy morning, world leaders and thousands of ordinary citizens said goodbye to Czechoslovakia's former president, Václav Havel, in Prague. The dissident playwright who led the 1989 revolution that toppled four decades of communist rule died last Sunday at the age of 75. The Archbishop of Prague, Dominik Duka, who spent time in jail with Havel under communism, led his funeral mass.
The entire life of Václav Havel was a miracle. Despite all expectations, all his dreams came true. The fall of the previous regime protected by the Soviet army, renewal of independence and democracy. But these were no dreams. This was your innermost conviction.
Elsewhere in Europe, people in Norway are getting ready for their first Christmas after this summer's massacre of 69 people attending a youth summer camp. And as the BBC's Tom Esselmont reports, many are relying on religious faith in the aftermath of the killings.
If 16-year-old Marta Fjermestad had not crouched behind a rock at the crucial moment on July the 22nd, she would not be alive.
I just ran away from the action, and there was a place where very many people got shot, and I saw a guy who had climbed down to the water, and it was kind of far down, and I just thought, I have to get down there. So I tried to just squeeze myself into the mountain and just be invisible.
Like her friends, Marta was taking part in a summer camp organised by the youth wing of the Labour Party on Utøya Island, in the middle of what is usually a peaceful lake. There were Norwegians from all over the country, a sample of its diverse population, and among them a number of Muslims and Christians.
At one point I was praying to God and Jesus and everyone, and I just looked up and I saw from a tree, a branch on a tree or something shaped like a heart. And I don't know, it's weird to explain it, but I just felt like God was just telling me to calm down and smiling down at me and just saying, don't worry. And so yeah, that really helped me a lot.
69 people died trying to escape the shots being fired by Anders Behring Breivik. He'd already bombed a government office in Oslo, killing a further 8 people. 5 months on, and life for Marta is beginning to return to normal. But no one here forgets what happened.
It's very nice. Lots of photos of her on the wall.
Yes, that, I put them up a month ago.
She's very glamorous.
Thank you. Yes.
Lisbeth Roineland's 18-year-old daughter, Sinne, was one of those who was killed. In her modern 3-bedroom apartment in an Oslo suburb, there's a vase of pink roses on the table. And in Sinne's bedroom, everything is as the teenager had left it.
This is her teddy bear, you know, the brown one. She had that since she was born.
Her favourite teddy bear?
Yeah.
For Lisbeth, an atheist, the collective outpouring of grief in Norway and the sense of togetherness has been the greatest support. But even she began to appreciate the role of church leaders.
It was a great deal of support that we got.
Norway is not a particularly religious country, but people were going to church. Did you find the need to go there?
Yes, I did. I didn't think I would at first, but it's so calming. And the funeral was a very nice, you know, event. You know, it's a really nice way to say goodbye.
Utøya Island itself is now coated in snow. You can see it clearly from here on the icy jetty on the mainland. And at the end of the jetty, by the water, there's a large red stone covered in frost on which a brass heart hangs above an engraved quote that's been widely repeated. It says, "If one man can show so much hate, just imagine how much love we can all show together." Well, in Oslo, in the weeks after the attacks, thousands of Norwegians laid roses in memory of the dead. But they also did something that many don't do every Sunday. They went to church.
During this 2-3 first weeks, more than 1 million people was inside the church.
That's Olav Dag Hauge, a senior clergyman in the Norwegian Lutheran Church and the dean of Oslo Cathedral. He says that before the attacks, only 10% of the around 4 million baptised Lutherans went to church regularly. But now that number has been growing.
Very soon they asked for services. And I think that's because the liturgy of the church helped them to find words. And then we decided that we will have a service every night the first week. And every night it was filled with people.
Gatherings and get-togethers seem to be what keep Norwegians going, especially as the temperatures outside drop well below zero. People are queuing up here outside the cathedral, wrapped in their thick jackets, scarves and hats, trying to get in to the building, which is full to the brim, just as it was in the days after the attacks. And in the crowd, I've just spotted a familiar face.
Every time I'm at church, I get very relaxed and I can just think about my life and just be grateful. And Christmas is really the time of year for me when I just sit back and think about everything that's happened and just be really grateful for the things I have and be with my family.
Like Marta, some survivors and families of the victims of the Utøya massacre say their faith has been important to them. But the overwhelming impression that they all give, be they believers or non-believers, is that the collective human spirit is vital and that by acting as one, hope might triumph over hate.
That report from the BBC's Tom Esselmont in Norway.